band sounds good tonight, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Every night they play this live for us, and we have a whole big band. We can't turn around the cameras right now, but there are a bunch of cats back there wailing as we welcome you to episode 18 of this here Tommy Edison Experience podcast. Me, I'm Tommy Edison. The great Ben Churchill sits across me. How are we doing there, sir?
Very good, Tommy. How are you?
I'm terrific, man. I'm just having fun, you know? Just enjoying life, trying to stay out of trouble, trying to keep busy, you know? Just having fun, having a nice time, laughing, goofing, and, you know, watching the world. It's been very exciting.
Watching the world through the internet.
Watching the world through the internet, through the power of the wah.
Where do you get all your news? What do you use? Social media?
Pretty much, yeah. I look at Twitter all the time. I look at Twitter all day long and just looking for things and what's happening.
Yeah.
And I find out all sorts of crazy things, you know, celebrities that died. And it really goes back for me. I mean, you know, when I was like, it's like 2011 or 2012 and all this stuff started to really happen. Like, I learned about Whitney Houston from Twitter, you know, not from radio or television, from Twitter.
When we started making YouTube videos.
When we started making YouTube videos and things, it just changed my life. And it's just such a crazy resource. I just love it.
You don't find Twitter to be a little too
It's aggressive. Obnoxious as can be. It's certainly aggressive. But I filter through that and get the things. I know who the people are going to be, you know, aggressive and screaming and yelling and stuff. And I just, you know, pass right by it generally because I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, just give me some stuff. Give me stories. Give me things. Give me what's going on. I'll take some gossip. I'll think that somebody looks smoking hot in their bikini pictures just 2 weeks after giving birth to quintuplets. What are you doing? Like, I do. Come on.
That's all marketing for their career.
Of course it is. I know that. But it makes me nuts.
No, I know. You know that.
I'm like, yeah, she looks smoking hot to me. Thanks, everybody. Next.
Right.
And then refresh and get a new batch. But I'll tell you what, dude, I do miss old Twitter. I miss when it was just a straight timeline, when it wasn't aggregated, when it wasn't sort of filtered through and sifted through for you, and there was nothing targeting it. It was just a straight-up timeline. I heard somebody describe it once as looking at a pile of leaves, then just turning over a few.
Yep.
And then just going away and then coming back and looking at a different pile of leaves and just flipping over a few. But yeah, so that, you know, that's where I get my news. But I get a balanced diet. I get, you know, the mainstream stuff. I get the things that I like, the civilian journalists. I got a nice mix of everything. So it keeps me fair and balanced, Ben.
Yeah. Do you bookmark things like in a browser?
No. What, like news sites and things like that or what?
Right.
No, I don't. That's like, that's going on the internet. I'd just rather have it in front of me on social because all those things are there. You know what I mean?
Right. It's just
I don't have to go to, you know, the Associated Press or whatever, or go to TMZ's website. It's all just fed to me on Twitter, you know, and if I'm curious about something, I'll go to the timeline and go back and, you know, see what they're doing.
Yeah. So much though can be missed.
I miss tons of things. Yeah. I hate myself. I'm like, how did I miss that? You know, and then we do it to each other all the time when we're doing prep for this, you know, I'll be like, do you see this? And you're like, do you see this? I'm like, oh boy. So it's a nice mix. We sort of take care of each other. And, you know, we between the two of us, we pretty much see whatever's going on.
Yeah. My bookmarks are endless.
Oh, I'll bet they are.
Yeah. There's so much stuff out there to read. And the news cycle, they're flipping it.
It goes so fast. I mean, you know, there used to be a radio station in New York called 10. It's still around, actually. It's called 1010 Wins, WINS. And they always used to say, you give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the world. So you can hear the traffic twice and the headlines twice. So you might get different heads a second time.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that was their thing. Now it's like you give us 22 minutes and you'll have a brand new news cycle. It goes really quickly.
Yep,
it goes very fast. And it's difficult to keep up, but I'm hooked. I can't help it. I go for brekkie and stuff and I'll just sit looking at Twitter, looking. I'll put my phone away for a little while. You know, just be chill. You know, you don't have to. Let me see what else is going on. I'm it's terrible. I'm hooked. But what are you going to do? But that's, you know, but that's sort of what's going on here. What's going on for us is that we have a Patreon and we actually have some people that donated to it. It's wonderful. I was so pleased to see this. I was humbled. You know what I mean? I'm so grateful for you guys for being a part of it. And I guess we have some people to mention and welcome.
Yes, sir. I just pulled up the page behind you on the screen to have it there. But I got a handful of people, a bunch of new patrons.
Nice.
So nice. Thank you for joining the
it's
family.
It's so nice to have you as part of the family. And we told you we'd big you all up. So let's
do it.
Let's do it.
Van Jam.
Hello, Van Jamie. I see your comments on YouTube all the time. Thank you very much. Yep, nice one. Van Jam, everybody. Thanks for being a member. I appreciate that.
Term?
I don't think I know that name. Have you seen it in the chat?
Comments, now that, yeah.
Oh, in the comments. Yeah, okay.
Ben Latinga.
Nice to have you here. Thank you very much for being a part of the fam.
Nick Courier.
Hello. I've seen you in comments before many times.
And Dat Buddy.
Dat Buddy. Dat Buddy. Don't you know that you make me go nutty? I'm so glad that you're not a Philly. Sorry, it's a little De La Soul.
I don't know.
I'm just rapping. No, that's great. Thank you guys so much. Dat Buddy, I love that name too. It's a good one.
Thanks so much.
An explosion of goodness, everybody, for being a part of the Patreon. Now, we have a question too, don't we?
We do.
Okay, so if...
Somewhere here.
Somewhere.
Yeah, let's see. Here we go. From Nick Courier.
Okay.
He listens to every one of your videos.
Thank you, Nick.
I just wanted to say I've become a big fan. I just love your outlook on things and enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much.
My question for Tommy is, if Tommy was born sighted, does he think he would still have ended up in radio? And also, what are some jobs that Tommy thinks he would enjoy doing if he were sighted?
If I were sighted, I'll tell you right now. Would I be interested in radio? I don't know. Because, you know, part of the thing for me was being a blind person, and radio was, you have to understand, growing up when I did in the late 60s, early 70s, it was absolutely magical. In those days, there are studies, and kids listen to radio a ton more than they watch television. It's true. You know, when rock and roll was just blossoming and popping and soul music and everything was happening, people were just listening to it, and I was drawn to it because it sounded like fun. So I don't know if I would have been born sighted, whether or not I'd have wanted to do that. But some of the jobs that I would like to have as a sighted person, there are things that I could do today. I'd love to be an Uber or Lyft driver. I think that would be so much fun. I might be a little weird, you know, having people in your car and stuff. Like, we have a friend who, you know, had his car christened. Somebody got sick in him once, you know, and that would be kind of crummy, but it's only a little getting sick and that's it. I'd love to be in the restaurant business. I would love to be a waiter or a bartender. I think I'd be a fun bartender. What else? Any of those service jobs, right? I don't know if I'd want to be a cop anymore. You know, it's sort of, but I think back in the, I don't know. It's law enforcement. That's in my family, but I don't think that's in my blood per se. But I think I'd like to work service, you know, and like maybe retail, you know, selling cars or something like that. I think that might be good at that too. Those are the kinds of things that I think about as, you know, a sighted person. And I also think about, like, you know, being able to drive. But
yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, it is a big one. But yeah, I guess that's the answer. You know, I'd like to work service because, you know, as somebody who's blind since birth, it's just one of those things that I always wanted to do and I can't. So, you know, you always want what you can't have, right, Nick? So, I think that's it, though. The service industry is where I would like to live. And funny enough, I worked in radio and even doing this, there's some service elements to this, right? I'm answering questions and things like that. So it's kind of the same thing, but, you know, it'd be fun pushing drinks across a bar and hearing stories and all that kind of thing.
How about politics?
You know, there's times I've thought about politics, but it's so dirty. And you know what they always say, politics is show business for ugly people, right?
Yes.
I'm too pretty to be in politics.
Yeah, in suits.
Yeah, like politics would be fun. Like, it'd be fun to go be a rep for one term, right? To get in the House of Representatives, because that's what it was originally for. The House of Representatives was not for people like, for example, in Connecticut, there's one called Rosa DeLauro, who's been in for, I think, 70 terms, like 140. I don't know. She's an older woman, but she's been in forever. And it wasn't meant for that. That was meant for like the miller or the blacksmith or the cobbler, whatever it was, somebody local in your community, getting into the House of Representatives, taking care of your community, and then getting out one, two terms and being done. You know what, there's too much that comes with being in politics, even on a local level.
Yeah, well, you seem like you'd be, I mean, you're saying you're good with people, working with people, talking and interacting. That is absolutely.
And I like problem solving too. I do. I'm, you know, I'm, I'm one of the, you know, you tell me what's right. It's a very guy thing to want to try and solve everything. But, you know, politics, I would be good at that, you know, coming back to town and what's bugging you. I can go to Washington and talk to him about that for you.
Be on the board for something. I could see you doing well with something like that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Let's get you on the board.
All righty. Edison for the board. Anybody got a company they want to put me on the board of? I require, what, about 250, 300 grand a year, maybe, for starters on the board? I think that's fair. Stock options.
At least.
Yeah, at least.
These right? days?
Yeah. Let me go. I'll go 750. Let's start. Let's go under a mil. I want to be, you know.
That's, nice, for, that's but, just for lunch to have the conversation
yeah,
about it.
That's it. And I need, of course, I need a car and a plane.
Private jet.
Private jet. Certainly. I want to be like, you know, the, oh God, you know, the former royals flying around to France and all that, you know, going to Elton John's birthday party, flying around 9,000 times. They could have taken a train. Come on.
No.
They talk to us about the environment and then fly all over the world.
It's fine. It's fine.
That's it. They're royal. It's
fine. Do whatever they want.
That's right.
We found out. That's all.
It's different for them.
So Nick also said that he just wanted to add that he has never considered joining Patreon until he heard that Tommy created one.
Dude.
That's what he was telling me in messages. He's quickly become my favorite YouTube personality.
Nick, so that's, man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And I won't let you down. I'll do my best to keep you entertained and smiling and all that stuff. And I really, I can't thank you enough for your patronage. And this is something that you'd like to get involved with. It's very easy to do. We have a couple of different levels that you can do it on. If you go $5 or more a month, and again, this is one of those things you could just do for 1 month and get out and come back when you got a little more, however you want to do it, or you can stay every month. But when you do that $5 or more level, you get a brand new bonus video each week. It's like a clip, you know, sort of a, we do a lot of things here before we tape and, you know,
pre-show stuff
and just playing around. Ben will make me laugh when trying new sounds and all. It's crazy. And then we get into some things too. We do some candid questions and others. So,
yeah, we just posted one. We posted another one just the other day, Thursday.
Nice. Very good. Okay. So
whose voice or speaking pattern bothers you?
Oh, so I remember this. Yeah. Well, this is a good one.
Celebrity.
That's a okay. Good. Good. That's good. All right. There. So you can enjoy that on Patreon. And then if you have a question like Nick did, that's just $10, right? And you can get your question and have access to all the, you know, and you get access to the archives as well. So patreon.com/Tommy Edison is how you can do that. Or they have a really convenient, easy to use app. And I'm telling you, if I can use it, it's pretty easy to use. So again, it's patreon.com/Tommy Edison. And I thank you in advance for being a part of the family. Looking forward to seeing you. And thanks
thank
everybody
you
who's joined.
Nice
one. Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry I cut you off there.
You're all right, baby. You're excited. Ben's very excited because
it's exciting.
We have something to show you.
Oh, do we?
Is that what we're going to do here? We're going to show you exciting thing? Because
I don't even know what's on the board next. Oh, yes, you're right.
This one, right? Because you've been all excited about this all day. You're like, dude, you got to see this. Come here. And so we've been working on a little something. We're going to try something over on Tommy Edison XP, the main channel. Right, that's a channel where it's not the one we got started from, but it's our big channel. And we haven't really we've done a few videos on it, but people like the produce stuff that we, you know, that we always did.
Right, all the edited stuff. With
all the edits, all the music and all the different, you know, Ben working his magic.
Right, this is where we made the most videos.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have a new video coming out.
We do. And later on this week, right?
Later on this week, Tommy.
All right.
Here it is. I want to do a sneak peek.
Sneak peek. Let's go. You're not going to see this anywhere else, just here on the podcast until fair. The whole video comes out, and then you see it then. But ready?
Here, this is like a little teaser.
Okay.
Let me open it up. Sorry.
Right,
just give me
no,
this.
You're
I want to do
fine.
This right. I don't want it to, you know.
No, yeah. We don't want it to be in progress already. We, you know, we want to have it ready to go because this is pretty exciting. And we made this a while ago, and Ben's been editing like a crazy person, and we're just about done. So we have a little teaser for you. There are people that claim that Stevie Wonder can actually see. It's been covering the mainstream press all over the world.
I still believe Stevie can see.
Now, this story comes from celebrities.
Stevie can see.
Stevie can see.
There's a bunch of people on YouTube chiming out on this as well.
Stevie Wonder might be a fraud.
Fraud.
You'll notice
there's a picture of Stevie Wonder
taking a picture of Michael Jackson.
Everybody that talks about this,
there's a building list of evidence that maybe
is a sighted person.
Just maybe.
Now it's time to hear from someone.
Stevie ain't blind.
Who's blind since birth. Wait, that's it?
That's it.
Wait, dude, you gonna stop it there?
Coming soon.
Coming soon. This is a cool one. So
the whole Stevie Wonder.
The whole Stevie Wonder conspiracy. And it's it's just fascinating. So if you've never heard about this, now you know, this is a real thing. Real celebrities talk about this.
Yeah, that's YouTube.com/, if you're actually not subscribed to that channel, if you're just part of the podcast, YouTube.com/ Tommy Edison XP is the channel.
Yeah.
Put a link for that in the description.
And that will be coming out later on this week. So phone the neighbors, wake the kids, as David Letterman used to say.
That's right. Oh, way back.
Oh, way back on the old NBC show.
Yep. Did you ever say that in the CBS? I feel like early days, maybe.
I think he might have in the first couple of years, but, you know, he changed, as we discussed before. But
network TV guy.
Yeah, big 11:35 guy now. You got to play ball here, kid. No more screwing around. None of that nutty stuff we used to do in the middle of the night.
So with the Stevie Wonder stuff, I was doing a lot of research and looking for all the things about the topic, right? The conspiracy. And I just came across a bunch of other extra little bonus things about Ebony and Ivory. And I asked you this. Did you ever hear that it got banned in South Africa?
No, I never knew this.
Right.
Never at all. So if you've not heard the song, it's fake Paul McCartney. I just throw that in for just me.
Just for fun.
Yeah, just to be a creep. Yeah, but it's Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder, and they're singing a song called Ebony and Ivory. It's a you know, a black guy and a white guy, and, you know, side by side on my piano keyboard, tell me why can't we? It's a great little pop record. It's a lovely little pop record.
Huge. And Saturday Night Live did a parody of it.
Yes, they did. With Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
And it was banned in South Africa. You don't know why?
No. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Let me see. I'll play this clip quick.
Oh, stop. You got a clip. Nice.
Let me see. Just here's why. For this, saying this.
I would like to accept this award in the name of Nelson Mandela.
Wow. And that, because Nelson Mandela was in jail. He was jailed in, I think, 1961 or 62. And he was locked up, for 22, 23 years, something like that. It was horrible. It was awful. And so that got Stevie Wonder banned in South Africa.
Wow. So, right, in 1985,
yep.
Mm-hmm. He won the Oscar, the Academy Award for Best Original Song.
For not for that one though, right?
For another song called
Say I Love You. Yeah, from I forget what film that was. Lady in Red. I don't know. I forget.
The Woman in Red.
Woman in Red. Thank you. Yay, Tommy.
Yeah, 1985 won the Oscar for Best Original Song. Said that. Got banned. I don't know when it got released, but this was according to McCartney.com.
Wow, that's really interesting. Wow.
Just for saying that's it. And then he moved on.
He sure did. He just kept right on trucking.
I'd like to.
Did the audience get banned too?
Thank, first of all, Miss Dionne Warwick.
And then he just keeps going.
So. Oh, good for him. I forgot that he won an Academy Award. Him and Prince.
That's right.
Prince won one for When Doves Cry, which is amazing.
So I was actually going to ask you, well, then.
Yes.
That year, that was 1985.
1985, the golden year.
That was a big year. In film with music. Do you remember who won original song score?
No.
For what film?
No, I
didn't. Same year.
85.
Same night.
Okay.
Original song score.
No idea.
Well, the nominees.
Okay, here we go.
Were The Muppets Take Manhattan, Jeff Moss.
No.
Kris Kristofferson, songwriter.
No.
Or this guy.
This is very unbelievable.
The same year?
I could have never imagined this in my wildest dreams. And
Wow, the same year. That's wicked. That's Prince.
For which film?
I would like to thank the Academy.
That's crazy to see him up here doing that.
It's really cool. That's for Purple Rain, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Of course, that big movie.
That's awesome. Him and Stevie Wonder the same year. That's a funky 1985 boy right there. And do you know, I'll tell you a fun fact about When Doves Cry. Do you know what that song doesn't have?
No.
Bass. There's no bass part. There's no bass guitar. Nothing. next time you listen to it, you check it out.
It's yeah.
Boom, ba-dang, gang, gang, boom, gang, gang, gang. And no bass part.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I have to go hear it.
Yeah. It's, oh, wow. That's awesome, dude. 85 and you got Prince's feet. And look how sort of timid he is and stuff. He's cool. I love him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish I could play the whole speech, but yeah, I don't want to get.
We don't want to get popped by the Academy, for heaven's sake. But they got long arms.
But all the speeches are on YouTube, on the Academy, on the Oscars YouTube channel. I'll
put cool. You put
it.
A link for that and stuff? Good. Because I want to see the Prince one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dude.
When I saw that, I was like, Tommy asked it. I got to tell him about that.
Yeah. That's great. And a friend of mine saw him, I think, the night after that in Hartford, he played. And he left the stage for a while, and the place was kind of emptying out. And then he came back and played for like another 45 minutes, and a bunch of people missed that. And he would dance around with an Academy Award.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Good old days.
Yep, the good old days. And, you know, it just makes me so happy. Because Prince wasn't supposed to be in Hollywood. He was just a musician. He just pushed his way in, muscled his way in. He had this idea for a film, and they did it. And he got a bloody Academy Award for it, and it launched a giant career for him. Big up, Prince.
Well, that's why it's fascinating to see him there.
Yep.
Accepting the Academy Award. That's a trip.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So with Stevie Wonder, I wanted to ask you, do you remember who he was up against or who he would have been up against in 1985? Some big songs at this time.
No, 85. God, no. Starship, for Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now? No, right? That was later.
85. Ghostbusters.
Oh, geez. Yep. Wow, Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr. Also, here I have on the screen, I'm doing to the freeze frames of the nominees.
Oh, cool, okay.
Against All Odds.
Phil Collins, sure, title track from that film. And he didn't win. Wow. That was a huge song. Giant.
Kenny Loggins and Dean Pitchford for Footloose. There were two songs up, and neither one won.
Wow. So, what, Footloose and...
Footloose was the one with Kenny Loggins.
That was the one with Kenny Loggins. And, geez, what was the other one from that? Flashdance is stuck in my head now. That's the wrong movie.
Let's hear it for the boy.
That's right, Denise Williams. Yep. I forgot. See, you don't remember that's in Footloose.
And then Ray Parker Jr. Yeah, Ghostbusters.
Yep.
And Stevie Wonder.
Dude, 1985. Good. You forget how good the music was back then, but it was wicked. That was right kind of in the sweet spot of the 80s too, right? 85, 86, 87. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my favorite, right in there. A lot of funk and soul. A lot, you know, hip hop was starting to get really great. Yeah. I love music.
I've never seen The Woman in Red.
No, I can't say I have either. No, I don't know. I've never seen Against All Odds either.
Ghostbusters, sure.
Seeing Ghostbusters, yeah, that was fun. It wasn't as good as the second one though.
Or the third one, you mean?
Yeah, the third one. Yeah. The new one, from a couple of years ago, from 2016. That was the best of the three for sure.
No,
right, Ben?
Oh yeah, in the theater we saw it.
Bill, who?
You reviewed it.
Yes, we did. I did a review of it. And where did we see that? Did we see that at ArcLight or the? Or was it the one we at the on the Promenade? Maybe
I blocked it out.
I know.
It was in Santa Monica.
Yeah, I thought so.
Sure, Promenade sounds good.
The Promenade, because we always went to that theater. They had nice chairs and stuff, and good sound, great sound in there.
Wherever it is now, wherever it was, it's closed now.
Okay. So are most movie theaters. So what are you gonna do?
Actually, there are apparently 48 states where they're open. Just not
48.
Yeah, I just saw that. So yeah,
48.
Welcome to America.
They're coming to America. I said I wouldn't sing. Forgive me. Sorry. I didn't sing.
I'll take Neil Diamond any day.
Oh, I love Neil Diamond. I don't know if he ever won an Academy Award. Turn on your heart light? Nah.
He must have.
He must have.
I've looked that up.
Oh, Jazz Singer. He probably went for Jazz Singer. Mm. The remake that they did in the 70s.
Well, who was in Jazz Singer?
Him and... I don't know. I saw it a long time ago. Remember like that Flicks channel that used to show the older movies? There were two Flicks and Encore that would show old, you know, the sort of B-level movies, but there was always some gems in there, and that's kind of the place he saw things like that.
It was Gregory Hines presenting the award for Stevie Wonder. So I think, was he tied into the winner of the year before?
I must have been, okay. Right? Isn't that the way they did that in those days? I think.
I'm not sure if it was a... Anyway, just curious if you remember. All right, Tommy.
All right, Ben.
Popular game from the past. Wanted to see if you want to play this again. People have been asking you to guess some famous people. see if you can describe what they look like.
Okay. All right. Let's.
Based on things you may have heard in the pop culture.
Okay. Who are we doing this time?
Presidential candidates.
All right. All right. We can do this. Let's give it a shot. Who do you want first?
Well, we have either Joe Biden or Donald Trump, of course. Let's build up to President Trump.
Okay. We'll go with Joe Biden first.
We'll start with Joe Biden.
I'm going to say that I think Joe Biden's probably fit. I mean, he certainly talks like he is. I have a little bit of information because he, you know, wants to do push-ups with people and things. So I have to imagine he's fit. I'm going to say Joe Biden's probably about 6 feet tall on a button. Not terribly tall, but not terribly small either. Not quite slender, but not quite athletic either. He probably put on a few, but he probably used to be athletic.
Okay, so I got some photos up in the background.
Okay, let's put up some pictures while Tommy talks. Hair color. He probably got short hair, like shorter than mine. And probably gray now. He was blonde, right? I think he was a blonde when he was younger.
No, I
thought he was light-haired. Okay.
Maybe when he was a baby.
No, okay. Dark hair.
But for body type, you said he was athletic?
Yeah.
He's more of a slim Tommy.
Is he really? Okay. See, I got nothing. I'm striking out on Big Joe Biden here. What else can I tell you? Eyes?
Go ahead. Eyes?
Dark eyes.
What color? You were going to guess.
Hazel. No. Isn't that a dark eye? I forget. I don't know if hazel is dark or light. But it's one you don't hear too often. Except
it's
in
sort
that,
of it's on the darker side.
Yeah. Okay.
Blue.
Deep blue?
Joe Biden has deep blue eyes.
Wow. Okay. Does he have like soulful eyes and stuff? Can you look into him and...
Maybe when he was younger.
Okay. I'm going to say... Well, I made a crack earlier that politics are show business for ugly people, but he's probably a pretty decent looking guy.
Sure. Yeah. No, yeah. That's it. Right. All right. You're making more of a joke.
Yeah, I really am making a joke. I'm trying to be cute.
What about height?
Yeah. 6 feet on the button. Really? Okay, good.
According to what I read.
All right. And
age?
Age, I think 77. Yeah. Okay.
Turned 78, Tommy, on November 20th.
November 20th. Okay, so just 17 days after the big day. What else? Oh, Dresser. He's suit and tie guy all the time. You never see him out of, like, a suit and tie, right?
What if he's casual?
Like a button-down shirt and, like, khakis, nice shoes, like loafers maybe, you know, some kind of nice shoe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yep. You know, like business attire, I guess you'd call that, right?
Yeah, casual business.
Yep.
Business casual.
Yeah. Joe Biden, he's a good looking cat.
Casual business.
You know, he's
okay, what about hair color? You thought dark said it before.
Yeah,
right?
I thought it was blonder, but you say it was like a darker hair color. So dark hair and deep blue eyes for Joe.
White hair now. He was losing his hair. Looks like he may have gotten a hair transplant, but it looks good. It's what do you think the style is?
Oh, the style.
He's got it.
No kidding. Does he spike it up a little bit in the front? No, he doesn't.
Sorry.
No, it's military style. Just a tight, what do they call it? High and tight.
Comb back is what he's got.
Comb back like this? Okay.
It's comb back completely. It's a little bit long and comb back.
Does he have some product in it?
Sure. Oh, yeah. It's all held in a nice place.
Wow. That's interesting.
Says he weighs 158 pounds, by the way.
I was going to go buck 75. Buck 58.
What do you think his... What's his middle name? Do you know his middle name? For $1,000, Tommy.
For $1,000. I don't know.
This is the bonus question.
All right. Can I have an initial for $500? And you take half of the prize away.
R. For $500.
All right. The grand is off the table. $500.
For $250.
I'll go Rudolph. No. Rick? Joseph Richard Biden.
It's Robinette. Really? Robinette.
That must be like a family name, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
That's all I had online.
Yep. Wow. Joe Biden, everyone. I didn't do too good on that one. I got about half of them.
We covered everything there, right?
I think so.
Yeah, white hair.
Shoe size.
Trademark look. Signature. What is he known for? Yeah.
What is he known for?
Physically.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because Trump's got a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, Trump's got tons of them. Is he known for his smile? Nah, I never really hear about people talking about Joe Biden's bright smile. Shoot, what's he known for? That's a good question, dude. I don't know. Glasses maybe?
No glasses.
No? Okay. The slick back hair, of course. What's he known for? That's an interesting question. I don't think I know. He doesn't have tattoos or anything.
Yeah, so it's tough. It's a tough one because you haven't heard a lot about him.
Oh, okay.
No, right? That's a tough one. And I'd say, I'm trying to think of what they're doing with Jim Carrey on Saturday Night Live. White hair, a big smile.
A big smile. Okay. All right. So he's got the magical smile. That's his thing.
If they were going to do like a cartoon character of him, they would definitely enhance the white hair and the big smile and the bright white teeth.
But that was like Bill Clinton too, right? Was kind of known for his smile. He was a charmer, right? He had a big old smile.
You know. Sure, and sort of a pinkish skin. Yeah.
Oh, see, I never
reddish
heard that.
Skin, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess maybe later. Years.
But he was pretty gregarious, Bill Clinton. So I figured he'd have a great smile, and he was
absolutely.
And everybody, you know, again, a charmer. He was absolutely a charmer. I mean, my sister met him and was just like, oh, you know, I was like, wow, no kidding.
Yeah, that's what everyone said, right?
That's what everybody says.
So all right, not so hot,
not so good. A little swing and a miss there for the Edison kid. Let's try the president, shall we?
All right, let me jump over to the president. Okay. Go ahead. What do you, you've heard a lot, right?
I have heard a lot. Well, I have and I haven't. So I will say that he is about the same as Biden, maybe an inch taller, probably 6'1". I will say he has a larger build. He's
6'1"? I'm sorry.
No?
No.
No.
Richard Dawson got involved.
I love that. Thank you. Good to have you along, sir.
He's 6'3".
Really? Wow. He's tall. I didn't realize he was that tall. Okay. He's probably a bit overweight because of the way he eats, they say. So I'll put him 6'3", though. Boy, you got to be, I'll say about 230.
No,
not that. Do you have a weight on him or no?
I do, because they had a physical in June.
Oh, okay.
And they released it, and it's 244 pounds.
244. Wow, he's a big boy.
Yeah. He likes to eat, I guess.
I guess he does. Well, you know, all right. So 6'3", 244. He's got, of course, orange hair and orange skin, right? I mean, that's a given. Is it really, though? It's. I mean, honestly, though, dude, is it?
Is it real? Okay, so here you go. So earlier years, no, it was darker. I guess he started to dye it.
So what, he had brown hair and the
brown
like when
hair.
He was, yep, okay.
I would say you'd see brown, blonde on the side, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
A mix, right?
Yeah.
In the 90s, right? That's, I think that's what I would see when I was looking him up. And then I think he dyed his hair and
something
so it's
went
like
wrong
a blonde,
sort of
orange.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And then in the more recent time, even like this year, it's more white. You know, with a mix of white and gray, really white and blonde.
Okay.
Trying to find the right word.
So he's not looking so orange anymore. Is the
less
point
orange,
trying to make.
More blonde, a little older, more like the Biden look, whiter hair.
Yep. Does he have the slick back like the Biden cut?
No. So his hairstyle, what have you heard about that?
I haven't heard much about Trump's hairstyle. I really haven't. So, but again, he's a businessman, so he doesn't have like rock and roll long hair. You know, that wouldn't be presentable at any kind of a thing. What kind of hairstyle does he have?
You haven't heard certain things about his hair?
No, I really haven't.
Wow.
No, just that it's orange. All I ever hear is orange, orange, orange. I guess that's all I sort of tune into. Perhaps I've missed this. I don't watch a lot of Saturday Night Live or places like that where they might make those sort of jokes. You know, I don't mean to take a shot, but you know, that's kind of your pop culture headquarters, right? For that kind of thing. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, earlier photos, dark hair. Wow.
Wow. No. So I can't, does he have the crew cut? No.
No. So he has a, what everyone calls it, the comb over.
Oh, right. Because there's a bald spot. I have heard about this. So he tries to sort of, or they say there's a bald spot and he combs it over. That's right. I have heard about that, of course.
Right. A lot of people say that he, you know, a lot of hairspray, but he says it's a forward and backward comb job.
Yep.
And yeah, a lot of hairspray.
And so, and he, does he have a lot of hair? I guess, well, yeah, I guess yeah, if he's doing a comb over, he must have a bunch in some spots.
Up there, yeah. And it's all, it's all sort of tightly sprayed onto his head or whatever you want to call it. Wow. Held, you know.
It's held.
Held. But I, there was a, I have a photo here. It's a, there was a time where he didn't get a chance to style his hair the way he wanted to.
Oh.
And he showed up to an event and he just slicked it back. And you can see he's got a hairline and it's completely slicked back and it's a different style, more like his son's.
Wow.
Don Jr.
Interesting.
And it's a completely different look, but at there you can see he's got hair. But anyways, going on a tangent there.
All right, what else? What am I missing here?
The reason, by the way, I read an article, the reason they say his hair is light and orange and all that is because he dyes his hair and doesn't wait for it to set. Because the longer you keep it in, the darker it will be, and apparently they say.
Oh, that's, that makes perfect sense. That makes, I mean, a guy like that, he's on the go. He's got no time to sit and wait.
Oh, yeah.
Got things to do.
Hot shot.
I'm a president, for heaven's sakes. I got deals to make, things to do. Wow. All right. So eyes.
His age? Oh, yeah. Eyes.
Trump's age is what, 73? No. Oh, right. He just 74? Yeah. Had a birthday in June, I think, right? I think.
Yep. Eyes.
Dark eyes. Brown.
No.
No. He's got the blue eyes too, huh?
No.
Somebody in the audience, you hear that? No.
Yeah, you hear that? It's so
I never heard that before.
Let's hear that.
No.
No.
I'm Cameron. You no. Idiot.
What's wrong with you, goofus? What's the matter?
Okay.
Oh, man.
Eye color for Mr. President Trump.
Yes, sir.
Gray blue.
Gray blue. I've heard about gray. There was an old New Order song. Oh, she has gray eyes. Oh, she has blue eyes. Oh, she has whatever. It's, you know.
What about fashion type?
Fancy suit and tie constantly.
What about when he's trying to stay casual?
Still suit and tie.
No.
No? Oh, that's, he won't go. Okay. So what is he like if he's going out?
I got some pictures of him looking casual. It's funny to see guys, by the way, who are normally you see in suits. Even your boss.
Yeah.
If they have a
and
suit.
Street clothes.
And all of a sudden they're in street clothes. Yeah. It's like, who are you?
What must he? Ah. I'm going to say he's like Biden, too, with the business casual. The chinos, the khakis, the button-down shirt. Always in place, though, and always sort of done nicely.
I'd say more like either golf clothes.
Oh, okay.
Which is the polo and
like
the
a shirt like
chinos.
This, right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Sneakers
like
or shoes?
Shoes. Golf shoes.
Yeah.
And then if he's not doing that, he's doing the jeans. But always tucked-in shirt. Button-down, tucked-in, dad jeans, kind of.
Who wear jeans, huh?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple photos of him wearing jeans out on the beach, tucked in shirt.
On the beach with a tucked in shirt and blue jeans. That sounds crazy. Okay. Wow. Why do I just not imagine? I don't imagine either one of them in jeans. I could see Obama wearing blue jeans and Clinton for some reason. But these two, I don't feel it.
There you go.
Right? You get that, right?
Yeah.
So you could see, I mean, Clinton's like, yeah, of course I got my jeans on. Please, we're going to have a nice time today.
Yeah, yeah. That's no, they all, right. They all exist. The photos are out there.
Wow.
Biden, though, hard to find. That definitely was hard to find.
He's Mr. Business Casual.
They got one casual, him in the office looking like he's in a, you know, J. Crew magazine.
And he doesn't like it. Get that picture away.
No, it looks good.
Yeah?
No, I'm saying it looks good.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
Mr. Trump, President. Don's middle name.
John.
Of course.
Donald John Trump.
All right, yep. Tommy. Nice job.
Thank you, sir. That was fun. Make that applause a little bit bigger.
Applausing.
Sweeten that up.
Applauding for yourself.
Well, if I don't, who's gonna?
If you want to look at his physical, I'll post a link to it online.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
They actually put the physical up, the report of the physical of President Trump. Yeah, I made it public in June.
Wow.
That's where I confirmed a lot of this weight, 244 pounds.
Wow, that's great, dude. Nicely done. Okay. It's in the link if you want to see it, everybody.
Yeah, it's a good one. So, for the election coming up, what is it? Somebody in the premiere last week was asking about, Tommy, talk about how blind people vote during the election.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, do we have,
Oh, we got some video?
You want to show that piece?
Sure.
Why don't we, then we can just talk about it afterwards, because this will sort of
is awesome.
Maggie Jess Persen is visually impaired. This new voting system will allow her and others to cast their ballots independently and privately.
It's very direct and very simple to use, and I'm not a techie person.
The system is called One for All. It's a tablet-based program that speaks to the voter through headphones.
It just auditorily moves through each contest, reading each...
You can hear reading.
Yeah, you can. Just a little teeny bit coming out of the headphones.
System is called One for All. It's a tablet-based program that speaks to the voter through headphones.
It just auditorily moves through each contest, reading each candidate so that someone can vote independently.
Voters will use the enter button to cast their vote in each race.
Anyone who's blind and visually impaired pretty much is oriented to a keyboard. The staff there can help them find it if they're not comfortable or not sure where it is.
The organization Future in Sight is hosting information sessions to teach voters how to use the system.
How cool is that? They're doing sessions to teach you how to do it. So, you know, that's one of the ways, the tablet system. There's another way that they use as well, with a sort of a phone system, and then it will spit out your ballot at the end. And then you go stick your ballot into the machine, just like, you know, just like anybody else would. And that's how it works. One of the things that's important is to have staff that know how to do the accessible stuff. Because I voted one time, and I swear it took me about 2 hours to vote. Because nobody knew how to use the accessibility features and things like that. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. They had to call people in. I had to wait for somebody to show up. I actually was dropped off in a cab and just told the cab, hang on, I'll just go in two seconds to vote. And I had to run out and be like, dude, this is going to be a while. So I'll see you this afternoon to drive me back to work. And that was that.
What a mess.
Yeah. So, but that's really the most important thing. If you have somebody there, you know, a good poll worker, volunteer, whatever they are, who, you know, and there should be... In California here, it says there should be one person at every polling location that knows how to use this stuff. So that's good. Yeah, but that's the way I vote. And I get to vote privately with headphones on. And I've not used the tablet one. I've used the telephone one. That's what they had in Connecticut the last time I voted, back in 2018. That was different from, I guess I voted maybe 20. There was a Senate race that I didn't like, so I wanted to vote in that back in like 20. I know, I'm so.
Yeah, you're involved. That's good.
I do pay attention to what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
That's the way voting works. They've done a lot too. When I was a kid, when I first started to vote, as an 18-year-old, I just wanted to go to do it. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. It was dumb. I shouldn't have been voting, and by my own admission. Because I didn't know the issues. I really didn't. I was just a buffoon. But I had to go in with my mom. And so she knew my vote. So it wasn't private. You see, this way is more private. And that's what you're sort of guaranteed, aren't you? A private vote.
Well, I wonder how private it is. I mean, do you go into a booth with do you feel like there is a curtain behind you closing? Because these, I mean, they're demoing things here, so it's a different situation. But
yeah. No, I felt like mine was out in the open the last time I voted. I felt like...
Well, there you go.
But, you know, could you see... You didn't know what the phone was saying or anything, so you see me punching keys on a big, giant telephone keyboard.
Well, but a lot of these things have... The text will be there just anyways, so that if somebody is assisting you, they know what is happening on screen.
Yeah.
Or if someone has low vision, right? And maybe it's large print or whatever.
Yeah, it's large, and then the large print, you can read it from across the room.
High contrast, yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like, hey, they'll come over and help you while they find out who you support.
Yeah, and that's my issue. And so, for example, voting by mail would be very tricky. There's really not a way for me to do that alone. Even if it was in Braille.
Right.
You know, what would I do?
And you absolutely deserve that privacy, even if it was with a friend, because it's like, well, that friend... Might not like your choice, or would tell somebody else who doesn't care about that privacy and just tells anybody.
Yep. Exactly right. There's so much trust. And I'll tell you what, Ben, the one thing that was concerning to me was walking across the room with my ballot and I didn't know which way the print was. So I wanted to like hold it close to me, like, you know, right in here. I'm like, you can't see it. But I didn't know which side, but I'm very concerned about that. Cause I do like my privacy.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure people try and give you the privacy as much as they can. I really do. I bet you they respect it.
I think they do.
I'm sure
too. They do. I think you kind of have to. And, you know, there's, as I said, there's not a whole lot of us. You know, there's certainly more, unfortunately, because, you know, people with injuries and things like that, and, you know, different conditions that have made their sight deteriorate. But, it's just, you know.
So there it is. Yeah, there it is.
So that's how I vote. And those are the two systems that I've used, and I've not used the tablet one, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. So we'll see how that goes.
So with your mom, the story about your mom, so she knew your vote. She did it.
Yeah. Well, she showed me which thing to pull, you know, and all the different races and things like that. Or, you know, the old school machines, you could just pull one thing at the top and that would devote, you know, you'd vote the entire line. So if you wanted to go the whole libertarian line, you just boom, and it would select all the boxes in each of the local races and, you know, all the different things like that. Or if you want to be a Democrat or Republican, whatever. And I'll be honest with you, the old voting machine was great. And my solution to it, I wish those machines were back, because what I think they could do is send you a layout of the machine, right? A big card that you could almost put on top of the voting machine and see what each lever was and be able to do it that way. And then you'd have the, you know, because then you'd have practice. You'd have the thing at home. You could see what everything was for and how it all worked. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the voting booth and do it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know if that would work, but that was my idea. Because those old machines were big, clunky moving parts and things, so it would be really easy to put labels on them.
Sure.
Or put something, you know, an overlay. Something. Or at least to show you what order things were going to be in. So when you got there, you would know that the far left one was this, the middle was this, the, you know, 3, 4, 5 in was, you know, the dog party or whatever, you know, I don't know, the nutty things, you know. So yeah, that would be my low tech solution, my lo-fi solution. But I think that would work.
I see a future in politics for Tommy Edison.
All right, Ben, listen, I would love to do it.
You're going to take care of these issues. You're going to get people start cracking heads.
That's right. And then we're going to change the money, and I'm going to get in for one term and then get that swell government pension, everybody, and the good government health care, too, and I won't have to worry about a thing.
I love it. All right, man, that's good. Thank you for answering I've been wondering that for a long time about the voting. We've never done a video on that.
No, and it's when we were actually contacted, but we made a friend. Remember our friend Joseph, right?
Yeah.
And he was very interested in voting and stuff and, you know, telling my stories. And
he talked about, he gave us the idea to talk about once, right?
To do a video. Try and do a video. Yeah, like when they were demoing new things. Because, see, this all changed. So there was a thing called HAVA, which was enacted in October of 2002. This is the Help Americans Vote Act. And this was enacted because of the mess that was in the Bush-Gore campaign in 2000 with the hanging chads and so on. And so HAVA was invented or, you know, enacted. And that's when voting began to change for the blind and visually impaired. And it was a bumpy start. It really was. But it looks like they've gotten it a bit better now. So, again, it'll be interesting to see how it works and a different state, too.
That's interesting that happened then.
Yeah. Isn't it great, though? But that was the thing that made him step it up. Because if sighted people were having a problem, they were hanging chads. What were blind and visually impaired people doing? You know. And so they Help Americans Vote Act. So who's that? That was Little Bush, right? Yeah. Yep. W.
Little Bush. Yeah.
Little Bush.
Yeah.
Well, the old man, I was calling the old man and the little one. I don't know.
Here we go.
There's a lot of burning questions that need to be answered.
And I'm just the man that needs to answer burning. Ooh, that was a good sound. Wait, can I hear that? That's a fun noise. All right. Candid questions time, everybody. These are questions that are from you, that you've asked, that you've been curious about. And so I'm going to just reach in here and grab one of these. And then I will hand it across the way to the great Ben Churchill.
Please do. Here we go. Topic is live music.
Oh, okay.
This is from Jerry Millard.
Hello, Jerry Millard. Thank you so much for checking out the show.
Millard.
Oh, Millard. Excuse me there, Jerry Millard. Hi.
What is your experience like going to live music concerts? How does the location of your seat affect your experience? And how much do you hear the audience from one view to another?
Ah, great questions. All right. So I started going to see live music when I was little. I mean, you know, my dad would take me to things. Like, I saw Lionel Hampton, for example, who's an old vibraphonist. I think he was a drummer, too. He had his own big band, and Quincy worked with him and stuff. And so I saw people like that would appear in the town I grew up in. And then I started going to shows. My first show was when I was 11, and it was incredible. And it's so loud in concerts that you really don't have to contend with the audience much, just in between the songs. But I love it. As a music person that I am, it's wonderful to just have that happening right in front of you. And I've been to all kinds of gigs. I mean, I've seen people. I saw Damien Rice one time at the Apollo Theater in Harlem with a guitar, and that was it. No microphone, no nothing.
Wow.
Yo, and it was brilliant. It was absolutely incredible. And he just tore it up for like 90 minutes. No mic, no, and the Apollo, it's a big room, dude. It's a big room. And it was marvelous. And then I've seen gigs, you know, with, full, you know, like I've seen Stevie Wonder a couple of times at Radio City in New York. And that was a great, those were great shows. And, you know, because he plays all the hits and it just sounds nice. All the times that I've seen Prince in all different sized rooms. No, but the audience doesn't really bother me too much. Sometimes it's a little tight. You know, I sometimes get a little anxiety because it's just, tons of people. I'd rather sit than stand for a gig, honestly. Because I feel like I have more control in my own space if I'm in a chair.
And what about the location of where you do sit? I mean, how much is that important to you for the sound?
It can be. I mean, I've seen gigs from the very top of buildings, like from the, you know, the blue seats in the Garden, if you remember what that is. Back in the day, you know, that's a Ranger fans were always up in the blue seats. You know, those are the real fans. but, you know, it's really nice when you're in the sweet spot and it's right in front of you. But it's, you know, it's okay when it's sort of below you a little bit. You know, because I can still enjoy the performances and things. I saw Neil Diamond one time from the back row of the little theater at Madison Square Garden. But it was great. It was awesome. And, you know, he did all the hits and everything.
At that point, it kind of becomes a party. Music's in the background.
It really does. Yeah, because, well, and I'm listening. I'm not really talking to people. I'm there to listen. I can talk to you anytime. You know, especially like at a Prince gig, I would just be silent and just be in awe and just my mouth open going, wow. So talented. What a monster. But it's an event going to see shows. And we used to go, there used to be shows on where the Intrepid is at Pier 84 in New York on 46th Street, way over on the West Side, right on the Hudson River. And there were shows 3-4 nights a week and they were $6-7. And we'd go all the time to these shows. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've seen a ton of live music, just a bunch.
There's a question here. Worst venue you've ever been to for sound?
Oof. New Haven Coliseum was pretty bad in the old days. I saw Van Halen from the second row in the Coliseum, way over on the side, but it sounded horrible. I've been a couple of gigs in there, and it wasn't terribly good.
Best sounding?
Boy, you know, Madison Square Garden sounds great. There's something about that room. It's Radio City Music Hall sounds great, too, but they're completely different venues. Radio City is like a 3,000-4,000 seater, and Madison Square Garden's a 20,000. The old Nassau Coliseum, believe it or not, was an ugly venue. They used to call it the Mausoleum. It's where the New York Islanders played. But, man, that place sounded great. I saw Tom Petty in there one time, and it was just awesome. I know, like, old Tom Petty, 1981 Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he won the Giant, he was just starting to pop and be a huge star. But yeah, there's some great venues and some horrible ones, but sometimes it's not the venue. Sometimes it just, the PA in the venue is just not good. I don't know, but
yeah,
the old Madison Square, I've been in sort of part of the new one. I saw Elton John a few years ago, there on before the final tour. That was that was a crazy night, but it was, yeah, I guess that's my favorite, the Garden, and it's just all New York.
Nice.
Let's take another question from the audience.
We'll reach to the old can of questions here. Jerry Millard, thank you very much for that one. That was great. All right, here's a nice little one, Ben. I'll hand over to you. Doing good handoffs tonight, by the way. Last week I was a little messy, but tonight we're doing them real good.
Drop them on the floor.
I know. It was all over the place. Poor Ben had to go scooping them up.
Here's a topic.
All right, sir.
Sight.
Okay, here's something I know nothing about. Just being funny. Go on.
Has there ever been a moment in your life when you thought you could see?
No, I don't think so. That's a nutty question. No, I don't think so. And it's funny because when I was a kid, for a lot of my life, it's all I ever wanted. And I mean that. It's because I've talked about this before, and I'll say it again. I just felt like it would make all my problems go away, but it would give me a whole new set of problems that I never even dreamed about. It's one of those things you ask yourself, would you rather have my problems or would you rather have your own problems? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd rather have my own because I know what that is. I don't want your problems. I don't know what they are. But yeah, I was never really uncomfortable in my skin. It took me a long time to kind of get comfortable and to be okay with being a blind person. It was one of those things. I working in radio, I tried to hide it, and I did hide it. It was a well-kept secret for a long time. But as far as thinking I could see, no, I never really woke up in the morning going, oh, hey, you know, it would have been great.
Never a dream?
No, because I don't know. Like, I can't dream what it's like to see. I don't, because I've never done it.
Well, but it could be your own version of it. I'm just making up.
No, you're fine. You're asking questions, which is great. But I can't, like, I can't create that in a way that it would wake me up and startle me and go, oh, it's only a dream. You know, because to see, you have imagery in your mind and things like that. As I mentioned before, in my dreams, I can smell, touch, taste, and hear. But, you know, and those are the senses that I use all the time. But I can't see in my dreams because I can't see. So my subconscious doesn't know how to create that kind of imagery for me. So it just doesn't exist.
Has there been a moment when you thought, I'm guessing no, based on what you're saying, but like where you're like, whoa, I think I see light. Like I normally don't see over here.
Sometimes, yeah. When I was a kid, like looking at lightning storms and stuff, that was fun because I could see the lightning, the little flash in the sky, the little bright boop, and that was cool. And as a kid, I was fascinated by thunder. I loved it. It frightened me. It scared me. But at the same time, I was in awe of it because it was this crazy sound that comes from the sky. You know, it's a big stereo effect and everything. It's especially the rolling ones and then the big boom and stuff. But yeah, so when my light perception was good, I could see the lightning and then be able to count 1,000, 2,000 to see, you know, how far away the storm was, right? They always tell you, you know, it's a mile away or per second between the lightning and the thunder or something. I forget what the formula is.
Is that even true?
I don't know. It's probably fake. Listen, everything they tell us.
Everything is fake.
It's all fake, Ben.
Those are all sound effects and speakers put into the...
That's all. Into the sky. They're just dumping some rain on you. They got big stereo speakers up. Beautiful. And the audio, you can't even... We'd love to have it in your home, and you can't.
It's Truman Show.
That's all.
That's all.
We're living in a simulation.
All right, good stuff.
Fantastic. All right, Jay, put this away here.
Put her away.
All
right. Be careful.
Even
when you put it back on.
Sorry. I know. It's weird. Put the lid on, and it makes crazy sound. Easy with that.
All right, here we go.
Where are we going?
The last thing we had lined up on the board here.
Oh, was... the president being a bad boy.
Being a bad boy. That's some radio.
He on the radio.
Here we go.
Check this out.
Right. And Iran knows that, and they've been put on notice. If you fuck around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before.
What are you doing? You're on. You know you're on the air.
If you fuck around with us, if you...
So that's from Friday morning's Rush Limbaugh program, where... they announced Wednesday that the president was going to be on the show. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't really read anything about it. I just heard this from a friend of mine. And I thought Rush was going to actually be hosting. I didn't think Rush was going to be there. So I thought he was going to come on and terrific. Welcome. It's a Trump show. All right. Terrific show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I thought he was just going to do 3 hours or a couple hours of radio, whatever it was. But he was a guest. And what happened was they went completely commercial free.
Oh, no kidding.
So... on the little station here in Southern California, it's not a little station. That used to be Kiss AM, the old 1150. But now it's this thing called The Patriot. And I got to tell you, it was a mess. So they went commercial free, and I had no idea. I was looking at the time, and I went, wow, it's like 27 after the hour, and they haven't stopped. And they forgot in Los Angeles at iHeart to, you know, that it was going to be commercial free. So it was interrupted.
Oh.
At the bottom of the hour with the news, you know, a little AP or Fox News, and then a bunch of spots and everything, and then it came back. And at the top of the hour, it was a train wreck. There were spots and the news and everything going on all
spots,
at once.
Commercials.
Yes, commercials. Yep. It was a mess because the radio station that rushes on in Southern California is literally a box in a closet. And I'm not kidding you when I say that. It's no one's watching it because it doesn't matter because it's Rush in the morning, and then they put – no, I'm sorry. It's Glenn Beck first and then Rush, and then what do they run? Hannity and Dave Ramsey and Buck Sexton, all
listening?
These guys.
Yeah.
No. And no one's listening to it, and they don't care. And it's just this, you know, it's all this programming that's all satellite delivered, and the computer runs the whole thing. But when you do a change like that, it creates a train wreck. So I don't even think I heard that part where he was cursing.
Right.
And Iran knows that, and they've been put on notice. If you fuck around with us, if you do something bad to us.
Wow. So have you ever heard a president curse like this before?
Only him a lot.
Yeah, he does. He drops some bombs. He was talking about one time he was at Do you have a couple?
I have a couple here. Right. I have to search whenever this comes up.
ISIS is making a tremendous amount of money because they have certain oil camps, right? They have certain areas of oil that they took away. They have some in Syria, some in Iraq. I would bomb the shit out of them.
Wow. And now he wasn't president here, right? Or was he?
I would just bomb those suckers. And that's right. I'd blow.
Wow.
I don't know what he was.
Yeah, I think that's on a campaign trail. That's fascinating.
He's campaign trail.
Yeah, that sounds like it, because he's saying I would. Wow.
There's another one.
Okay.
And they wanna go in and raise the price of oil, because we have nobody in Washington that sits back and said, you're not gonna raise that fucking price.
I can't believe
he's doing this. He's just cursing and yelling and screaming and stuff. And they're not going to raise the effing price. Wow.
Right. And back in 2011, Comedy Central roast.
What's the difference between a wet raccoon and Donald J. Trump's hair? A wet raccoon doesn't have $7 billion fucking dollars in the bank.
So strange.
It's so weird. But he's such a tough guy. He's so New York. Just that accent comes right through. And it just makes you sound even tougher.
We do have other politicians coming up. Here's another one. This is probably the worst.
Okay.
And then we'll move on.
Okay, because we have more presidents cursing, please.
And, you know, I said to somebody that is really the messenger. The messenger is important. I could have one man say, we're going to tax you 25%. And I could say another, listen, you motherfuckers, we're going to tax you.
Boy, but that Queens comes right through, doesn't it?
I didn't know he said that one.
No, me neither. But, you know, in his defense, I suppose he talks like people talk, right?
Well, yeah,
I mean,
but he's
up
on
people
stage.
Talking like that. Well, as they say, it's not terribly presidential.
Nope. So Joe Biden.
Okay. Has Joe Biden, I don't think I've ever heard him curse.
He has. Well, he's known from earlier this year when he had the altercation, interaction. With the what? These workers at this factory
this was,
somewhere.
Yeah, I forget where this was.
An argument over gun control.
Right. Oof! I heard that. Wow.
Joe Biden says you're full of shit.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Wow. He's just gonna. And I like, you know what I like about that clip? He's not going, you're full of shit. He's going, you're full of shit. That's all.
Yeah.
Just as a matter of fact, he's not losing his cool.
So this is funny because he introduced Obama.
Okay.
And Obama, President Obama came out and Biden leans in.
Oh, and he's got a mic on, of course.
Hot mic.
Oh, boy. I love the hot mic.
I love Obama's reaction. Just kind of, I can't believe you said that.
Let me see.
You realize we're all mic'd.
Wow, you can hear that. Wow.
Biden says, this is a big fucking deal.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Obama, thank you. Right. Thanks. Let's move on, please.
A viral video. Thanks, Joey.
It's a big
Okay, so then Obama, moving on to him.
Oh, does he curse?
Apparently he does in his book.
Oh, right. Yeah, this, what is this? Dreams of My Father, I think, right?
I don't know what it is, but this is talking about his friends. He's quoting his friends. This is not his own words.
He's telling a story about some crew, some of his old crew in Hawaii.
Yep.
Okay.
Might be offensive to some.
Okay. You've been warned.
I can't remember what he says here, but.
That's adult content for sure.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me. You ain't my bitch, nigga. Buy your own damn fries. Now, you know that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Wow.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Wow.
Wow.
I thought it was somebody doing an impression at first.
It sounds like somebody doing an impression. It really does. It's, and the way that's recorded, too, it's, wow, it's really sweet, isn't it?
Does it sound like him, the real him, though? The real President Obama?
I think so, yeah, it does. I mean, it's, he's certainly a younger guy. This is probably from maybe 2008 or 9 or maybe even earlier, before his, you know, when he was maybe a senator. But yeah, I'm going to say that's him.
And then George W. Bush is the last one.
Oh, please. Another hot mic. Please tell me hot mic.
Hot mic talking to Tony Blair while in the middle of eating a lot of food.
Stop it. This doesn't sound terribly presidential.
Yeah, it's always funny.
See, the irony is that what they need to do is get Syria to get Hezbollah to stop doing this shit. Hold on.
Stop doing this
Listen
shit.
Listen to him. And you can hear him eating. You can hear him. Holy smokes. Jesus, Mr. Bush.
So that's it.
That's fascinating. Hearing President's curse is always funny to me. I just like it. It makes me laugh. And Trump would...
Keep the kids away from the president.
Yeah, please. They keep away. They're gutter mouthed. You can't have that around your children. You know? But the same people who freak out about this are letting their kids listen to Cardi B, the unedited version, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's okay. It's music. You don't really hear it.
Sure. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Well, this has been great fun, Ben Churchill. Nice time, huh?
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, great friend. This is wonderful. And, of course, if you want to be part of the Patreon, we've got that here for you. And you just pop along to patreon.com/TommyEdison. We have a couple of different levels that you can join in at. So whatever you're comfortable with, it's all there for you. So patreon.com/TommyEdison. Also, we have merch for sale. Merchandise. I mean, Christmas time is coming. You're going to need to shop for that person, like your dad, for example. You never know what to get the old man because he's got everything. You don't have a Tommy Edison shirt or a blind film critic phone holder or a Tommy Edison hoodie or a Tommy Edison experience, any of that stuff. So it's fun for the person that has everything. You know they don't have any of this stuff. So that's available to you. TommyEdison.com/store for all your merchandise needs. The podcast is available anywhere that you find your podcast, over at Michelle Obama's place there, Spotify and Apple Music and the rest. Also, you can watch it anytime here on YouTube and all the links and stuff. So if you're just listening, you need to go over to YouTube, and it's Tommy Edison XP2. That's the channel you want for the podcast. So again, it's Tommy Edison XP2. And you'll find the podcast and all the links and stuff that we've talked about. If there's anything that you'd like to see or hear on your own, it's available. Ben Churchill, I think I covered it all, right?
Absolutely. I think you did.
All right, baby. Well, this is great fun. Thanks. A good time for tonight or this afternoon. And we will see you again real soon, I promise. Until then.
Okay, so, I think that's about it. I don't think we need any more. Can't do this.